Good morning and welcome to Telenor and to the presentation of Telenor's fourth quarter results for 2008. My name is Scott Engebrigtsen and it's my pleasure to guide you through this morning's presentation. We hope that everyone has the material that we have made available, that is our press release, the quarterly report and a copy of the presentation to be used here any minute. As usual, you can also watch this presentation live or in recording on either the internet or on a mobile phone. And you may also send in your written questions during this transmission. And you'll find instructions on our website. There will be a Q&A session directly after the presentation here, first from the audience present, then from the ones participating on the phone, and finally the opportunity to do individual interviews. To present the figures today, we have our CEO, Jon Fredrik Baksaas, and our CFO, Trond Vestli. And first, I'll leave the floor to you, Mr. Baksaas.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Thank you, Scott. We have the fourth quarter figure on a splendid winter day here in Oslo today. So let's get started. First of all, I want to say that the fourth quarter is once again a all-time high revenue reported figure. It was so in the third quarter, and it is so for the fourth quarter as well. The organic growth is at 4%, in line with the third quarter, in fact. We have to say, though, that there are positive currency effects in this, amounting to 1.3 billion Norwegian kroner. So the reported growth comes to 11% for this quarter. We have managed to keep the strong margins in our Central and Eastern Europe operations, and we are very happy that Pakistan and Grameenphone now seems quite much stronger figures than what was the case after third quarter. CapEx in Q4 is driven by network projects and spectrum acquisitions, in particular in Pakistan, where we had extra spectrum delivered in the fourth quarter. As we see it, we are delivering then on our guidance for 2008, with 5% revenue growth for the year on the reported numbers, and 6% including Kyivstar. And Trond will come back to the outlook for 2009 later on in the presentation. We have also been able to add 5.5 million new subscribers in this period, which we also feel is a fairly substantial amount under the present circumstances around in the world. Number one contributor to this in this setting is VimpelCom in fourth quarter. If we then move on to the different markets of Telenor, I start with the Nordics. In our Nordic operations, we have maintained our market positions and margins in this fourth quarter. I'm particularly happy with the Mobile Norway, which we saw a very strong growth figure of 8% in the business segment, coming on top of the fact that we have added another wholesale customer, Network Norway, coming in and not fully compensating for the fact that the Tele2 contract left us more than a year ago. Despite the loss of these wholesale revenues from Tele2 in early 2008, revenues have then declined throughout the year of 2% in 2008, which is in line with our guidance, which we put up in Capital Markets Day of 2008. Also for fixed, I'm happy to say that the downward trend seems to be a little bit eaten off this quarter, 3% down. We have, though, included also then revenues from data metrics, and there are some growth in global wholesale services, which have lower margins on average attached to it. So there is a certain dilution effect. But despite this, I think that we could say that fictional, what is behind the 2008, at expectations, and pretty good also on all market parameters. Revenues in Sweden and Denmark are impacted primarily by the decline in fixed line voice services, which we see as a reducing product line going forward, as mobility and broadband is the core of our activities. We're starting then also to see the positive impact of the integration work coming from our fixed and mobile operation in Denmark after we acquired Tele2 some time ago. We are standing by the 10 billion operating cash flow target that we set mid-term back in, I think it was Capital Markets Day 2007. And I think that we are closing in towards that target in 2009. Here we have to say that the restructuring effect goes in Sweden and Denmark takes form and delivers according to plans, and so far that looks good. Then some words on Central and Eastern Europe. The number one consideration here is, of course, Ukraine. The Ukrainian economy has been severely hit by the global economic crisis, with a significant drop in industrial production, and as a consequence, a weakening of the national currency. But we have to say, Kyivstar is doing very good also under these circumstances, so there are minor effects only from the weakened Ukrainian economy on mobile spending, at least for fourth quarter. In fourth quarter 2008, Kyivstar upheld its margin at mid-50s, and it is another strong year of operation from that organization. Looking forward, though, we will have to expect some indirect effects also to the mobile spend, but as in many markets, mobile services has proved quite resilient up against the turmoiling effects coming from the financial crisis at large. The sad fact about this is, of course, that the currency effect is negative since we have had this significant weakening of the hryvnia in the period. We then move to Panem. Panem has delivered very strong figures on customer acquisition this quarter, having restructured its go-to-market strategy on the prepaid, and can look at a customer growth figure of more than 260,000 in the quarter, which is more than we've ever seen for quite a number of quarters in Ukraine. Also for Serbia, it's a very, very solid quarter. Margin is up quite strongly, as you can see, to 49%, 34 in same quarter last year. And the Serbian organization has been able to keep costs down, and also remember here that 2007 was a very special year, because that was the quarter in which we had the third entrant coming into the market. But both usage and average revenue per user have increased by 10% in Serbia in fourth quarter, and we're quite happy to see that coming through. In Asia, we are very pleased to see that Grameenphone and Telenor Pakistan seems to rebound strongly this quarter. There are though two festivals of Eid in the countries in fourth quarter, which contribute positively to this, as the festival gears up activities in the mobile usage. Low subscriber growth, but no dramatic change in usage indicates that the mobile sector, also in these markets, are quite resilient up against the macroeconomic development. In Pakistan, high deployment of own backbone infrastructure has reduced the lease line costs and bringing the margin up. And this is in line with what we expected and also have communicated at an early stage. And here we are looking at a 7 o'clock. It's not reaching for probably the 20 million customer line within 4 years of activities in the marketplace, which I feel is particularly strong, putting 7 o'clock strong as the number two in the market. In Digi, in Malaysia, there's a good momentum on postpaid. Here, mobile number possibility has been just introduced, and we see that as a positive contribution. In Thailand, Thailand has had a very difficult fourth quarter, remembering back to what happened on the political scene. My personal impression is that the present government in Thailand really has been able to establish a platform and are looking forward, also seeing that their tourist activity is at the earlier week in January off at 80% of capacity. So maybe this is to show some promising sign for this, but still it's very difficult to be very exact on the forecast for that economy. Then events around Kyivstar on corporate governance has been positive for Telenor in this period. After more than 3 years of staying away from the Kyivstar shareholders meetings and board meetings, our partner showed up at the last Kyivstar shareholder meetings in December and also now in January. And at the first meeting, the annual accounts for 2005 and 2004 were approved and dividend declared. And I'm also happy to say that all the dividends for these years have been paid and received in the other end. And as a consequence, we have, as the major shareholder, received $230 million as we speak. And that means dollars delivered to Norway. The audit then of 2006 and 7 and 8 have started, and dividends for these years will be declared, we anticipate, for the two first years within the first half year of this year, and then 2008 coming a little bit later into second half year. I'm pleased to see that our efforts here long time has brought some results, and that we now seem to be on the track of running the company more in a normal fashion. The question then about reconsolidation of Kyivstar will be addressed by us later on. Currently there is an appeal going on in New York, and later this month there is a hearing on the Farimex case, which is scheduled in Omsk at 19th of February. Then for India, another aspect which have got a lot of attention. On the Indian transaction, the Power Access and Transmission Agreement is expected to be closed within short time. That means also that the overall agreement package is expected to close within this first quarter. The funding here is, as you have been advised, changed from capital issue, a rights issue, to be done through a cut in dividends for 2008 and 2009, combined in combination with debt instruments. Progress on and the work that has been going on in this project for since the time of informing it to the market is of course to hunt for better terms on the very vital core structures, both on equipment from vendors, on power structures from power suppliers, as well as on the IT. When this is clear, we will immediately call for a conference to identify deeper the details of this project. Then the operational focus for next year, 2009. We are living in uncertain times. There is a challenging macroeconomic environment out there. The impact on this on our industry seems to be at least for now, fairly minimal at the early stages of a possible recession. And at the same time, this is an industry where we are able to tune our efforts and our resources according to market development. We cannot see overall sort of material signs of weaknesses surrounding our companies, potentially in Thailand. Each fourth quarter trend sort of come through as a full year in 2009. But on the other hand, with a new government in place, I think activities domestically will pick up. But there will be a challenging business environment out there. And in such an environment, we will adjust our priorities. We will focus on cash flow from operation. There will be a thorough cost control regime in place, looking for cost efficiencies, and tight capex control along with market development. I don't think we are sort of in that sense giving a recipe which will be very different from the figures of the industry. However, communication is very important for any aspect of daily life, that be recession or growth environment. So we are fairly optimistic on also how the telecom companies, including Telenor, can maneuver through such a period of greater challenges because of the economic slowdown in the world. That leaves my presentation for now. I'll then leave the floor to Trond, who will take us through the financials. Trond?
So, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'll guide you through the fourth quarter results for 2008 in these financial turbulent times. Hopefully not as turbulent in the next few minutes. The fourth quarter, as Fredrik said, an organic revenue growth of 4% and the top line reported revenue growth of 11 up to almost 30 billion Norwegian kroner in revenue in the fourth quarter. You see the trend line here, basically moving upwards as has been expected. The EBITDA number of almost 10 billion, 9.9 billion Norwegian kroner, at a margin of 33%, the same margin as we had in fourth quarter, and it follows the same seasonality as it has done the last couple of years. Going to the revenue growth, you see from the slide here that we have a revenue growth of 11.2% and an organic growth of 4.3%. As a part of what Fredrik said, the development, the underlying development, doesn't show a consistent trend in all our countries. So if we go through all the countries and see how actually the reported and the currency effect is on the reported revenue, you see that it's a variety of difference between the underlying organic development and the reported development. Specifically, positively, we see Pakistan, Bangladesh with an organic growth of 20 and 17%, together with Kyivstar of 15%. And we also see a downturn specifically in DTAC and also in Sweden of that. When it comes to Sweden, there are some market elements that go there, and also our decision not to enter into basically sell DSL on Skanovaland in Sweden. So this chart underlines the elements that Fredrik says that we don't see a specific trend coming out of fourth quarter into 2009 as such in the development. Then going to the CapEx figures, CapEx for the year 2008 were in line with our guiding, a bit higher than expected maybe in the fourth quarter, but that was basically as a result of the low quarter three figures and some rollover effects. Some completion of networks as usual at the end of the fiscal year that seems to be important both to our suppliers as well as ourselves, that actually catches up a bit in the fourth quarter, leaving us at the 6.7 billion on the capex side, and the 485 million is the spectrum fee in Bangladesh. To the right side, you see the development, some additions in Asia, and some reductions in Central Eastern Europe of 243. That gives the bridge from fourth quarter last year. But if we then look at the development of CapEx on a fourth quarter rolling basis and look at the more long-term development of Telenor in the cash flow scenario, you see that this quarter we have an operational cash flow of 3.2 billion, going up from last year fourth quarter of 2.2 billion. But if we take to the trend line to the right column here, you see the fourth quarter rolling operational cash flow, excluding then licenses and spectrum. You see that the ongoing trend in Telenor has been moving upwards, and you see that the pickup has been coming in Q3, Q4, basically as a result of the developments in Asia as well as the CEE. So if we go for the compounding element of this cash flow development, you see that going in to the left here, you see the quarters, quarter by quarter, segregated by the different mobile areas. You see that Asia came into a break-even point in around the first quarter of 2008 and has been moving steadily upwards. So the development in the cash flow market has been positive during the period, and we expect that to continue into 2009. I'll come back to that in the writing section. Then looking at the reported figures, we are reporting revenue of 26.4 billion in revenue. That is not including the Kyivstar numbers. Therefore, the almost 30 billion is down to the 26.4, and an EBITDA of almost 8 billion Norwegian kroners. For the year, we are delivering a bit more than 97 billion Norwegian kroners in revenue, and an EBITDA before other items of just over 30 billion. And that is basically in line with the guiding for the year of reporting growth of 5%, and if we include Kyivstar, it's the 6%, and it's above the 34% margin. There are a few specific elements in this that I want to highlight. The other elements is basically a bit of housekeeping. It's three elements. It's some block contracts that have been provided for over totaling 257 million. Another important element is the associated company. That is lower as a result of our estimate on the Vimpelcom number. The Kyivstar number is just short of 1 billion plus in this number. And as usual, we have taken the analyst estimate on Vimpelcom and used that. But we have evaluated that considering the information that the information Vimpelcom gave after their third quarter release relating to their currency exposure on their debt, we have added, we have not only used the analyst consensus, we have added another 1.7 billion Norwegian kroner as a result of currency costs due to the fact of the position in Vimpelcom. In addition to that, we have a correction as a result of that currency effect of 300 million. So in this number, the net negative effect from Vimpelcom is approximately 500 million kroners. That is also, the 1.7 billion is actually 1 kroner a share on our ETF. Then going to the net financials of 694, it's basically in line. I'll come back to that on our net financial cost. It's basically in line, and that is due to that we're have a very good hedge in the account, and thereby we have a very marginal effect on the P&L. There are translation effects, of course, in the balance sheet and on the equity side, but other than that, it's just a marginal effect on the P&L side. It's actually less than 100 million Norwegian kroner. In total, we see that the earnings per share is 1.33, but that also includes the additional cost that we have put on the currency effects of, or the currency loss on VimpelCom of 1.7 billion. That actually comprises of just over 1 krona per share. The net interest-bearing debt increases from 39 to about 45 billion. The major element in that number is currency change and accruals. So at the bottom of this, on the table to the right, you see the currency effect of 5.7 and the accruals of 2.0 actually comprises more than the growth in the debt in Norwegian kroner. And as I said, the hedging is working perfectly, so the P&L effect of that is marginal. Going then to some of the focus points for last quarter, and that has been the development of the interest cost. You see from this graph that we have been steadily picking up as a result of the interest rates in the market has been picking up. From fourth quarter, we were having an average of 5.8% cost. This year, we have an average of 6.8%. Even though our maturity on our debt is much longer, is longer than the duration of our fixing of the interest cost. We have a duration of our fixing of our interest cost less than 1 year. And as a result of that, our interest cost has already gone down as a result of the interest of the interest that has gone down in the beginning of 2009. So as a result of how we see the interest curve go right now, we foresee that the interest cost is also going to be reduced during 2009. Then going to another element that has been some questions about, it's our debt maturity profile. I can also say then that we have fully updated websites on these issues, both on interest as well as debt profile. So I do think that you will find most of the information there. But as you see on the maturity profile, we're spread out. We have short-term debt of 10.8 billion Norwegian kroner in 2009, very limited in 2010, and some in 2011. The difference between the colors here, the blue ones, is the group numbers, and the shaded ones is the numbers in our subsidiaries, which we don't wholly own. It's companies like DTAC, DG, and so forth. So in that sense, we are fairly evenly distributed. In addition to that, we have now, in the beginning of 2009, committed facilities undrawn of approximately 28 billion Norwegian kroner. That is just as a backup facility in the event that the money market is not coming up to speed, so that we're not able to refinance this element in the money market. If that happens, we are then able to draw on the backstop facilities of approximately then 28 billion Norwegian kroner. So effectively, we do see that we are covered for a long period of time, and that also includes the element of including India into this equation. Then coming to the outlook for 2009, when we look at the macro elements, the trend coming into 2009, we must say that it's definitely higher uncertainty than before. And therefore, we are more uncertain on the development when it comes to the top line structures. But the best effort and the best estimate we have right now is the organic revenue, meaning the underlying revenue, not taking into consideration the currency changes that happened in 2008. Then we see an organic revenue in line with 2008. If we convert that to how the currency development has been doing during 2008 and use the currency numbers for 2000 at December 31st for 2009, that will mean that we will report our reported currency, reported revenue growth of approximately 5%. So an organic 0% with the currency rate at January 31st implies a reported revenue growth of 2009 of 5%. Moving from there, we see that we're continuing via the level of the EBITDA and guiding on around 34% level. And we're also guiding the CapEx downwards to a level of 15 to 17%. That is the group as of 1st of January, excluding India. Coming to India, as a result of the delay and what we previously announced, we see that India effect for 2009, we now expect the revenue portion to be marginal. We do see that the EBITDA loss will be around 2 to 2.5 billion Norwegian kroner, and the CapEx level would be in the range of 5.5 to 6.5 billion. And as I said, the elements when it comes to the top line development is, of course, of some uncertainty. But we do believe that the focus we have on the KPIs, both when it comes to operational excellence as well as the capex focus we had, allows us to have the necessary focus on the cash flow and the cash flow improvement that will come as a result of this guidance. And that concludes my part.
Thank you. We're now ready to take your questions. I'm about to back on the podium. And please be so kind to wait for the microphone to be passed over to you, and also state your name and company, please. Please.
Hi, Martin Ross from Arctic Securities. I was wondering, are you reiterating this, a lot of the other guidance you gave for India in Q3? Like you said, 40,000 towers for the first year. Is that still your guidance?
Since the potential startup of the project will be later in the year, to reach that full level in the month when available is the dry figure, another consequence of this. The CapEx figure and the EBITDA figure are lower than what we had on the slides in October.
But do you still expect 40,000 towers for the first year of operation?
For the first year of operation, we are looking for the same amount of towers, yes. But we are also, since we started, and as I said, we have spent this period to hunt for improvements in the basic cost parameters of both the towers, the vendor side, as well as the IT side. And as a consequence, that the figures will be better or stronger than what we had in the October setting.
Yeah, thank you.
Any further questions from the audience present? Not so, I think we will turn over to Petri on the phone.
Yes, first Patrick Morris, JP Morgan. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi, it's Maurice Patrick from JP Morgan. Clearly the focus on free cash flow here is what's important. You've talked about the India delays meaning that free cash flow will be stronger than you previously guided at the third quarter. Can you talk a bit about the repatriation of cash from your subsidiaries, from Digi and DTAC, dividends alone? But can you talk about how you repatriate cash from your other operations in emerging markets? And also talk a bit about how you expect your net debt to trend this year, given what you're saying on the CapEx and free cash flow numbers. Thank you.
Well, relative to the repatriation of cash, going forward, I do think that we're actually going to see that most of our, all of our operations except Pakistan going into 2009 going to be cash flow positive. That means that the repatriation of cash is done on a continuous basis on our 100% owned entities. For our partly owned entities, like Kyivstar, Grameen Phone, DG, DTAC, it's on a sort of our decision basis relative to how dividend is, we're able to actually give it dividend. When it comes to DG and DTAC, they're public, so you know about that repatriation. When it comes to Grameenphone, I don't expect any major repatriation from Grameenphone in 2009. And Kyivstar, we have announced that basically we have received $230 million already, and we are about have a process on deciding on dividend distribution on the later year. And that's basically how that is done. When it comes to the other companies that we have 100% ownership of, it's basically Serbia, Montenegro, Hungary, and all the others. It's basically done on a continuous basis in the cash management system that we have. And we are following up that with the normal decisions on domestically so that we complete the formalities. Coming to the debt development going in 2009, it's always the currency element, but disregarding the translation and the currency development, do you think that we're going to see a flattish or somewhat improved net debt structure as a result of, even though we see postponement in the Indian cash flow investments, it's still going to be flattish to slightly improved.
Now, you've taken the step to not pay dividends for this year and probably also for next year. So given what you talked about, the focus on cash flow, to what extent are you confident that you can fund the first two or three years of the Indian transaction through organic cash flow and not have to go to the equity markets again or to refinance?
As of that, we have done our scenarios and our sort of sensitivity analysis, and we're comfortable that will be done. That the Indian investment will be done on our operating cash flow as it has been scheduled out, and that includes the dividend cuts in 2009 and 2010.
And just one final question on the revenue growth. You talked about a flat revenue growth. You did 4% in the fourth quarter, I think 4% in the third quarter, a bit higher in previous periods. Are you taking a conservative, you talk about the uncertain outlook, but are you taking what you see as a conservative view on how the macro environment will impact the value development in these markets?
I think it's impossible right now to actually say whether you're conservative or not. I do think that the fundament in the macro says that we are uncertain. It's the best guess that we have relative to how we see the development in the different markets. I do think that we fundamentally think that telecom or mobile security is more resilient than other consumer sectors. And we see that as we have experienced so far. But the elements say that we are more conservative or not is impossible to put a sort of a rating on.
Because in terms of the current trading, you actually saw an improvement in the trends in Pakistan and Bangladesh. So basically, Thailand seemed to get worse.
Well, basically, the comment to that was from when you see the report, the organic revenue growth from each of the countries. As I said, you cannot take a consistent view of that sheet or schedule and say that the trend goes this way or it goes that way. It's basically domestic issues that drives each one of them. So Pakistan was some element in the third quarter. Thailand had some challenges. Sweden has their own. The growth in Pakistan as well as in Bangladesh comes as a result of other trends. So basically I do think that it's impossible for us to say that this is a trend, so we actually have to go country by country.
Right. Thank you very much.
Next, Andrew Hogley, Execution London. Go ahead, please.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. Three quick questions, if I may. Firstly, could you comment on the trends in the Norwegian fixed business? It looks to me as if the total DSL market is now in decline. Secondly, carrying on from Maurice's question on cash flow, what's the impact from VimpelCom zeroing its dividend on your thinking? And are you comfortable with where the forecasts are for 2009 for associate income? You mentioned in your presentation that you've made some revisions to the Q4 numbers. And finally, at the Capital Markets Day last year, you spoke about the need for additional spectrum in some of the developing markets to launch mobile broadband. Is there anything in your CapEx guidance to cover that cost? Thank you.
Let me start then on the trends of X. I think that we can say that the DSL market in Norway has reached sort of at least a temporary kind of maturity. Significant or most visible growth element in broadband connection is actually through the cable TV systems of Telenor rather than the DSL. However, on the mobile side, the interest for the mobile broadband service offering has been quite impressive, I'd say. We have now more than 150,000 customers on this. This is still a supplementary, we feel, broadband connection to that of a fixed connection. We might expect that there is a migration issue coming up here into the future. So, but it does also demonstrate that to have the last users of the last potential users of broadband connection from DSL to have them connected is not simply an exercise that is, can be driven by applications alone, because obviously some people think that they don't need that broadband connection at home if they are sufficiently covered to work or school or whatever. Then for the mobile broadband, we're still optimistic. We think this is a phenomenal good service offering for mobile broadband. It has, of course, inherited in itself the challenges on capacity needed up against volume consumed, which is sort of a major question for the whole industry, how to cope with in the longer run. As for additional spectrum, maybe you address the dividend question related to the winter control. As for additional spectrum, in the guidance, there is no element of direct transactions. There are, of course, some good leeway on how we guide on this, but there is no sort of specific spectrum. As you know, there were three spectrum transactions in our accounts last year, and they more or less come on top on our direct guidance for the year.
Well, when it comes to the VimpelCom decision on dividend, I mean, as an owner, we agree that the priority is to develop the long-term value of the company, and therefore those kind of decisions we agree with. When it comes to the actual cash flow element of that, that is within the sort of the elements that we put into our buffers when we actually see that the need for cash relative to what's going to come, and that's a part of the evaluation that we do. So it was kind of expected as we saw.
And in terms of where the consensus is for VimpelCom, given the ruble devaluation, are you comfortable with those numbers feeding into the net income forecast for Telenor this year?
Well, as I said, what we've used is to look at the analyst. We've taken the updates on the information that Bitcoin themselves gave after the third quarter release. We evaluated what we thought we should see in the analyst evaluation or the analyst numbers, and then we took a decision that we to be on the right side of the currency development in the fourth quarter, we needed to take an additional 1.7 billion Norwegian kroners to the associated line. We are comfortable with our evaluation on this, but that is on totally on a market evaluation basis, and no information from VimpelCom has been used, and they have been not been sort of in discussion in our evaluation of that number.
Thank you.
And next, Peter Nielsen, Shipworks, go ahead, please.
Thanks very much. A couple of questions, please. Firstly, as Tom said, you've guided down your CapEx expectations for 2009. More specifically, Tom, where is it that you're now seeing lower CapEx than previously expected? And second, at the time of the announcement of the India acquisition in late October, you obviously motivated the rights issue by the fact that you would expect a credit downgrade, potentially a serious one, if you were to fund the acquisition and the investments through debt, which you will do now. What are your sort of initial indications from the credit agencies in terms of your credit rating? And my third question would be, obviously, you were hit by several factors in Pakistan in Q3, and you've improved, recovered materially in Q4. How have you managed to present this improvement? What is it that has improved in Pakistan? Thank you.
Okay. When it comes to the CapEx, I mean, as a result of the organic growth on zero, that means that actually the underlying element is that the number of minutes is not going to increase that much. And so fundamentally, the lack of further increase on minutes is actually going to reduce the pressure. So that's the fundamental element. So that's basically over the board. And as well as other industries, we are recognizing that the uncertainty of the macro, and therefore we have put more elements on hold and sort of prioritize more on the needs of the short-term needs than the long-term, as we see the long-term development of each of the operations. So it's actually is a very generic element going into this. And also, I must add that in this number of 15-70%, we also have another satellite in broadcast this year that actually comprises of 1% in addition. So actually, we do think that we have the necessary focus, but it will be widespread relative to that. And I do think that if we go back to the presentation we had during how we saw the fourth quarter rolling development of the operational cash flow, I do think that we're actually going to see an extended trend how that is developing. When it comes to the credit rating, the updated rating so far has come as we have expected. Moody's have downgraded us to A3. Standard & Poor's have confirmed their BBB negative outlook. So in that sense, we think that the measures and the decisions made by the board relative to how to fund the Indian investment is actually going accordingly to our plan, and we see that the rating is as expected actually.
As to the operational question related to Pakistan, third quarter in Pakistan was a very challenging quarter. Seen that last point of mine, that both the usage, arithmetic means usage per user, went down, and both the average revenue per user moves up, as well as minutes, it goes up in fourth quarter. So this is a usage build-up, and the single most item on the cost side is that of extended usage of own backbone for transportation of data between the base stations and around the country. So we are very happy that the economy in Pakistan seems to give this kind of activity compared to what we felt was at risk after the third quarter in Pakistan.
Many thanks.
The next, Jacob Bluestone, Merrill Lynch. Go ahead, please.
Hi there, Jacob Bluestone from Merrill Lynch. Three questions, please. Firstly, can you just update us on any discussions you've had with Altimo regarding ownership of Kyivstar? And also just generally, I mean, given the severe economic strain in Ukraine, just to confirm that you are still interested in control of that asset. Secondly, can you just clarify, and you might have addressed this earlier, I jumped a little bit late onto the call, but the $2 billion of CapEx for India over 3 years, can you reconfirm that guidance as well? And then finally, just in terms of your CapEx, what currencies, can you maybe give a split of what the currencies for your CapEx is, or is it often just local currency denominated? Thanks.
Yeah, that will be a little split between the two of again. As to the ownership question on Kyivstar, I have to say that we are a majority owner of Kyivstar. The corporate system in the U.S. have confirmed that very solidly. And corporate governance of the company seems to now move into place again. So from that perspective, a structural deal isn't that required, basically, as we covered earlier. However, on the other side, if there is a possibility here to think structurally, we are, of course, maintaining our ambition to take Kyivstar further, and if that implies a willingness to participate in an engagement from the other side, we are happy to engage to that question within fair evaluations of the assets involved in it, of course. So,
with it comes to the guidance of India, as Frederick mentioned in his presentation, we have been hunting for elements of both when it comes to the transmission towers, when it comes to the CapEx in general, as well as the IT systems in this period. And what we will do when we actually have the completed package in place, we will call for the dev call for a call like this to make sure that we give you the updated guidance. So for now, we're not ready to give you any new guidance on India. We will update you immediately after we have closed the commercial order part that comes into India for that position. So as of now, we are not giving any other indications than what Frederick has just said, that we've been sort of hunting for efficiencies.
You had a last, the third element of your question was related to currencies on the CapEx profile, wasn't it?
That's correct. If you could maybe give a split, what's dollar, euro, NOK, local currency? I don't know if you have that to hand. Just in terms of understanding, obviously you had a lot of currency movements over the last 18
months. It actually varies from, depending on your dollar-euros element, it varies from 12% to 67% company or company by company, but I do think that if you can please take that, Jacob, if you can please take that with the IR, I don't have to go through all 13.
Okay, that's fair. Can I just ask one follow-up on Kyivstar? You said the board is functioning. Have you put any safeguards in place now, changed any aspects of how things operate to avoid a potential issue such as you had in the past regarding quorums and so on? I mean, is there a risk that suddenly we go back to where we were pre-December?
Well, you have to raise that question with our partner, basically. A new board is in place. Mr. Tigerson has been elected chairman. These are valid decisions and valid events that have taken place. And the board is constructively working towards getting the accounts for 6, 7, and 8 audited and approved. And we're looking forward to participating in that process according to the new setup, and hope that and reckon that our partner will do likewise based on the solid platform that was established in the United States over the ruling that we had in November.
Great, thank you.
Next, Steve Malcolm, Arete Research. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Three questions. First, just coming back to ratings agencies, can you give us a flavor of the adjustments they make when looking at your leverage? Clearly, I guess they don't look on a consolidated basis. They'll make adjustments for your partly owned subsidiaries. It'd be helpful if you could enlighten us to what those principal adjustments are. And secondly, on Unitech, your Indian partner, I noticed they were downgraded last month by the ratings agency. I just wanted to sort of get your updated thinking on financing the Indian venture and your partner's ability to invest proportionally in the venture. And finally, just on the margins overall, I mean, looking at consensus, I think the consensus, including Kidstar, is for about a 29-30% margin, so the 34% guidance is obviously well above that. It would be helpful if you could give us an idea of where you think consensus is particularly wrong. Thank you very much.
When it comes to the rating, the difference in bureaus is having different sort of techniques in how they actually adjust. But they basically evaluate the different non-investment grade countries and take out some of the earnings and cash flow coming from them and not put that into the equation of how they actually do the EBITDA to net debt evaluation. I do think that instead of me having sort of a deep dive in that, I do think that Standard & Poor's is now issuing a long form any day now. I do think that we will have the necessary evaluation on that when it comes to that and the updates on Moody's actually. So instead of me actually going through that, the element what they do is that the off-balance sheet financing, right, like long-term leases and elements like that, they add on to the gross debt. They take out non-investment grade countries and sometimes they put percentages on those cash flows that go into that equation. So it's a bit art-wise that they actually have evaluation from how they do it. But you think that, but as of now, the book rating or the book matrix that we have on the EBITDA in the debt is much less than the rating agencies, and that is due to that they increase the debt as a result of off-balance sheet elements, and they take out some EBITDA numbers as a result of non-investment grade countries.
Do they actually exclude the debt of partly owned subsidiaries, so DTAC and what did you got cash, I guess? Will they strip that out, and you know, should we just do that and then include the dividends coming in, or is it even more arty than that?
Well, it's a bit more arty than that, but I actually do think that the best way you actually get it is to get the update from Standard & Poor's and Moody's on their report, because they actually specify some of those elements much more precise than I'm able to do right now.
Okay, thank you.
Next, James.
There were some more questions.
Okay.
There's one on the Unitech downgrade and the ability to follow up. That question has been there for quite some time. Unitech is in the midst of restructuring their balance sheet. They will be, as per date, they will be required to participate in this, according to our agreements, after the first year of operation, basically. And within that time frame, they are in expectance of having achieved the refinancing of their balance sheet. As to the guidance part of your question, I think that there's a bit of a misunderstanding of that one.
The element of that is that it's for the, as we have acknowledged on the guidance or the average in the market, the consensus, including Keystar, is around the 34% level. So I don't think that our guiding is very much different from market guiding. The element is if you exclude Keystar, then it is a lower number as a result of that. And then, just to be very clear on that, our guidance on 34% is excluding India. And the number on the EBITDA negative number nominally is then 2 to 2.5 billion Norwegian kroner. Comprises of around about 2%.
So we'll have the next question, please.
Yes, the next James Britton, Nomura, go ahead, please.
Thanks very much. First question on maybe some further M&A. I think you suggested back in June last year that you were interested in investing in transmission infrastructure in your existing markets. Can you just update on these plans, and would you consider acquisitions in the Ukraine and Hungary in particular? Or does your balance sheet make this a bit more difficult now? Secondly, what needs to happen before you would reconsolidate Kyivstar, and do you see this happening by the end of 2009?
I didn't quite get the last part of it, but as for the transmission question, the interest toll with the transmission is of course something to do with how these markets develop data-wise. How much traffic will there be to be handled? And what the price advantage of having a control of that kind of infrastructure yourself as opposed to work with others. And there were some possibility on that in Hungary last year, which we did not entertain. This question will probably come back to us at a later stage. As for now, and as for the potential of the India transaction coming through, the acquisition side of this will of course be that our activities in that field will be limited in the first years of now getting our efforts towards the transaction as such. We haven't mentioned though also the possibility then of selling assets which are considered non-core, because that will of course also be part of our future evaluations on the event that the Indian transaction comes through, as we have said expected to happen shortly.
When it comes to the reconsolidation of Kyivstar, that is a sort of open-ended evaluation. It basically comes down to the evaluation when that we are comfortable that corporate governance is working, and we as the major shareholder can use our power as the major shareholder to actually take decisions and move the company forward as a result of the percentage ownership we have. So it is a continuous evaluation on when that will happen. I do think that the concern that we have in taking that conclusion is that if we do reconsolidate it and the situation arises as the same as we had the last 3 years, then we would have to deconsolidate again. So we're sort of evaluating it on the basis of the long-term performance and how we do with it. We don't think it is of dramatic importance to the market due to the fact that we are reporting numbers for Kyivstar on a continuous basis anyway.
Yes, thanks. Would you be willing to confirm or clarify which assets you now view as non-core for the overall strategy of the group?
So I think there are many speculations on that, so I'll leave it to you to think that over. I don't have sort of a specific list to show you on that score as of now.
Thank you.
Next question, please.
Next to Stefan Pettersson, Nordea, go ahead, please.
Yes, hello. First, a follow-up on an earlier question. It is regarding Pakistan, where you managed to bounce back in margins from the low 11% in the third quarter. Do you believe that you are now back on track to deliver on your old guidance of mid-30s in 2010-2011? Secondly, in Bangladesh, you reported a extremely solid margin at 57%. This was obviously helped by lower subscriber intake. This is a level that we haven't seen since the fourth quarter 2006, and in 2008 you've been around 47%. Do you expect lower intake also going forward, and should we then expect a margin above 50% for 2009?
Two questions into the
crystal ball. As for Pakistan, I think Pakistan is still at 55% penetration. There are obvious new segments to come in, to promise margin development in the direction you've indicated. Then the market environment has to be quite positive. I think there will be rallies for new customer segments in Pakistan, and when they come, we will compete for that market position. We have reached a 20% market share, and we intend to stay there. For Bangladesh, I think to a great extent you could say the same. The penetration in Bangladesh is lower, and it's down to climb. Lower than Pakistan, I think it's around 20-ish. So there will be growth elements, and in periods where the market grows in number of users, the margin will take a hit in those kind of periods. But Grameenphone is fantastically well positioned to handle that with its huge distribution network, as well as a high quality type of network, and with frequencies in place in Dhaka. I think I mixed that up saying Pakistan in my initial remarks here today, but the frequencies that we got in fourth quarter was for Bangladesh, and it helped us a lot to handle the traffic volumes in Dhaka area in particular. So we are positioned to handle that. But that indicates that the margin in those kind of periods will fluctuate.
Okay, thank you.
Next question, please.
Next, David George, Credit Suisse. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, thank you. Could I just come back to the revenue guidance for 09? I wonder if you can provide any more details there. If I look at the trends in Q4, it does appear organic revenues are clearly getting better in Norway. May well be positive overall, certainly on mobile 409. Denmark's improving as well. And obviously, you know, you're guiding to quite a slowdown in growth, which would point to significant slowdowns in the other assets. You touched on that to some degree, but I wondered, you know, is there anything in Q1 trading to date in some of these markets which show any further impacts from the macro slowdown on the revenue growth in those assets?
Yeah, it will be a little to go over a little bit of the same question again, but we could have also all hoped for that there are unexpected growth elements to happen in these markets. But there's nothing special on the regulation side, on some competitive intensity that has changed, basically. So this is a reflection on what on the uncertainty that we do expect coming from the economic times that we are heading into.
Could you comment, I mean, just on what you know you might expect in some of the Nordic markets, whether we could expect to see certainly Norway positive organic revenue growth in NI?
So then you're diving into sort of some elements of this top guiding. And I'm not ready to entertain that kind of thinking right now.
Okay.
Next is Seymour Dutcher, New Street Research. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi, it's Seymour here at New Street. Just one question at this stage, please. There was quite a lot of talk about food price inflation last year and you know, negatively impacting a number of emerging market mobile businesses, perhaps including your own. Is it sort of a bit too far to say some of the Asian businesses in Q4 benefited from the fact that you've actually seen some moderation in food price inflation? And in 2009, you know, we can, I think, at this point expect to see perhaps some deflation in food prices. Would that make you a little bit more optimistic in markets such as Pakistan and Bangladesh for 2009? Thanks.
There are sort of two elements that play into that, and that is not only food, but energy as well. What sort of triggered this all for last year was the rise in energy prices, then spilling over into the commodity pricing of food and rice in particular. I think that specific subject is not as visible on the radar screen as it was last year. How it will play out in mobile spend longer term? Well, of course, people, generally speaking, have all other factors equal, a better equation in their private wallet to also allocate to mobile spend. So from that perspective, yes. Then will the general activity in these markets pick up? And personally, I'm of the opinion that to get the uncertainty away from the table on the new government in Bangladesh, I think that's positive. I think it's positive that the elections went as they did, and that there is a government there with aspirations for the country in the years to come is good for the economy. And I think the same can be said for Thailand. How and with what strength this will play out in the local economy is, of course, related to the world economy. More so for Thailand than for Bangladesh, actually. I'm sorry for being general on your question.
Okay, please.
Next question.
Next, Justin Demovic, BNP Paribas, go ahead, please.
Thank you very much. A few questions, if I may. Firstly, I am sorry to come back on the cash repatriation question. I'd like to know if you can clarify for us or give us an idea of, in 2008, how much of the operating cash flow generated in the several divisions overall you were able to repatriate to the mother company as a percentage. My second question is about the cost of drawing on the different credit facilities, if you can provide some disclosure there. And finally, I heard that the government in Norway has taken some measures to help the lending in the real economy. Could we expect you to benefit from that when you need to refinance your debt maturing in 2009? Thank you very much.
Well, as I said, we're not disclosing our cash flow prognosis or cash flow account relative to sort of when and where we repatriate the cash. When it comes to the 100%, it is in cash pools, or we actually repatriate all the excess cash on either a daily, weekly, monthly basis. When it comes to the subsidiaries, like Qstar, the partly owned subsidiaries, as I said, none has been repatriated from Bangladesh during 2008, none from Pakistan. Dividend has been declared in DTAC and have been received. And DG has also declared payment to the shareholders and have been received as well. So basically everything is up in the market as such. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but you can call investor relations if you want to have that detail. So basically, as a generic understanding, I do think that most of the numbers for the cash flow from the operating entities are either in our control or disclosed relative to repatriation. I didn't quite get your second question.
Also, the usage of available credit.
Yeah, it was about the cost of drawing on the several credit facilities you said are committed.
Well, the cost is, it's a standby credit fee that we are paying, which is around about everything from 30% to 50% of the margin on the loan. And basically, if we draw, we pay the margin premium of the loan, and basically it's market terms for all those commitments.
And for the last element of your question, the lending package, the Norwegian government released this weekend a package consisting of two elements, 50 billion Norwegian crowns as a capital as a potential capital strength for the equity part of banks in Norway, and 50 billion to be handled by Folketrygdfondet as a lending package for refinancing needs in the marketplace in general. The detailed terms on based on market sense. The detailed terms around attached to it haven't been clarified yet, but both of these means are, the way we see it, very efficient means for maintaining the liquidity parts of the Norwegian economy called corporates, and the lending package is of course a contribution into those companies that have refinancing needs, including that of Telenor, basically, depending on the terms compared to what's available in other sources.
Thank you.
Next question, please.
Yeah, next, Jan Zabowski, Handelsbanken. Go ahead, please. Jan Zabowski, go ahead, please.
We've lost him. I think he must have lost impatient. I think we have one more question from...
Yes, that's Maurice Patrick, JP Morgan.
Yes, sorry, just to spend a lot of time talking about India's cash flow. On the more sort of boring subject of Norway and the Nordic region, can you just talk about how trends are developing in the market? If you're seeing pricing pressure continuing, if you're seeing similarly trends impacting or overall competitive intensity? Thank you.
Hello, boring. We're not bored here in Norway, are we? Well, on the other hand, the intensity in the marketplace is still there, but it's been concentrated then to the bigger players: Telenor, Telenor Sonera, Tele2. I think the smaller players, which have had more or less an aggressive approach to it from periods of time where funding was more readily at hand, will have some challenges in bringing that business proposition forward. So that competitive landscape is pretty well structured, and the regulatory framework around it is also spelled out, despite the fact that the asymmetric system has been maintained in Norway at least until 2010. And, of course, that is contrary to our advice and what we're used to from other markets. In Denmark, consolidation happened on both one and two occasions last year. I think that's to the longer benefit of the Danish market. In Sweden, the four players are there, plus some additional ones, of course, but there's no restructuring sort of around the corner the way we see it, so I don't expect that significant changes in the competitive structure in Sweden. Mobile broadband is considered to become the new driver, and we will of course very carefully scrutinize our market position on this and be part of that game.
Thank you.
And that concludes this Q&A session. Thank you all for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Hvis det er ønsker om individuelle intervjuer, så kan de melde seg til meg.